Welcome to Cowboy Church with your host, Russ Weaver, and Susie McIntyre. So sit back and enjoy some good singing, some great testimony, and some good preaching. Welcome to Cowboy Church.
Hey, I'm Susie McIntyre.
And I'm Russ Weaver.
And we're here today for Cowboy Church on RFD TV. We are so pleased that you are listening in.
Well, we are. And I'm kind of excited about the material we'll be covering today. Mm-hmm. It's about war horses.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, anything about a horse I'm interested in.
That's exactly right. Yeah. Well, they are God's creatures, and they all have a mind of their own, for sure.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. And then comes a person to change their way of thinking, right?
Well, yeah. And it all starts, there's two things to look forward to in this first mm-hmm. half this week. One is orders.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I got to go to that road to the horse, and there,
okay.
The first thing they do, they establish who's in charge.
Okay.
So that you have to establish order, and nothing will happen until that horse decides that you're in charge.
Okay, right.
So that's our first half.
Okay.
Who's in charge?
Who's in charge? Who's in charge? Well, I hope that God's in charge of those people.
Have you ever been in a home where they think the kids are in charge?
Oh, yeah. It's a bad deal.
So how would you describe that?
Chaos.
Train wreck.
Yeah, train wreck. Yeah.
Yeah.
Weakness.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Very.
A lot of weakness. And it's unfair.
It's unfair to the kids.
It's unfair to the kids.
Right.
Yes, yes. Anybody that is not in order, it's a bad deal.
So order has to be established.
Mm-hmm.
That's
what
we're going to be talking about today.
Awesome.
Sounds like you're way ahead of it already.
Yeah, yeah.
You've already learned it. It'll just be
refresher course.
Refresher course.
Yes,
yeah, there you go.
Yes. Well, sit back and relax. I'm going to sing a song or two, and then Russ is going to speak. You are not going to want to miss this. Welcome to Cowboy Church.
Hey, Mark, what was your first kind of initiation into Cowboy Church?
Well, that would be you, of course.
Well, of course. Okay, what was the second?
Well, you're thinking of my uncle.
Mm-hmm.
This is a great story, actually, and we talked about it on the way down. I had an Uncle Sam. His wife had passed away, and so I'd sit with my Uncle Sam, and we'd eat peanut butter and jelly sandwiches on Sunday afternoon for lunch.
Bad coffee.
Terrible coffee. And he liked to take a quick nap and then watch his favorite TV show. So I said, well, I'll go ahead and go home then. And he said, well, if you don't, you got to take a nap and then watch my TV show. I got a little girl I'm kind of sweet on there. So I thought, well, I'll do that. It seemed good. So we both laid our heads.
So you weren't in the dark on this. You knew that I was singing on Cowboy Church. You just hadn't informed him that you knew.
Correct. He
right.
didn't know that I knew.
Uh-huh.
So we took our little 15-minute nap, and then he turned on Cowboy Church. And so I asked him, Sam, is that the gal you got your eye on? And he said, oh, yeah, I love to hear her sing. She's pretty cute, too. And he's, well, can't argue with that. So that was real fun. And then after the show was over, I said to my Uncle Sam, who was a horseman, for sure, quarter horses and cutting horses.
Up in the state of Washington.
Yep, he was a bit of a legend mm-hmm. in that part. I said, Sam, you're not going to believe this. And I called you on the phone. We were just began seeing each other about that time. And he could not believe that he was talking to his little sweetheart.
That little old girl on Cowboy Church.
That little girl who could sing. So that was fun. Susie, you gave a great gift to my Uncle Sam. Just with that one phone call.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Well, it does tell how far-reaching RFD Cowboy Church is to reach an elderly man. He was widowed at that time, and it brought great satisfaction for him to be able to sit down and watch TV with likeness. You know, we bring a little bit of country, we bring a little bit of cowboy, and to watch the Cowboy Church channel and the Cowboy RFD TV channel was a great comfort to him from his past.
Absolutely. He spent a lot of time on the RFD channel, and he loved Cowboy Church. So I think he was more interested in you than he was with the actual whole program otherwise. But it
well, that's okay. Something's got to bring them in, right?
Yeah.
Well, it is amazing that even Mark and I met. We met at Cannon Beach, Oregon in 2008. And I never thought I would ever meet someone like him. And he has blessed my life. He's been able to help me to peel the onions of abuse and just an inferiority that I have felt most of my life. So the partnership that comes with a relationship is so important for people to flourish. And I pray that that's something that you have today. This is Amazing Grace.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Twas grace that brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, oh, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Oh, I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour my first believed. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. Than when we first begun.
This morning, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and we'll start reading with the 24th verse. I want to set this up just a little bit. I don't know how many of you have ever been involved in a, like you bought your house or you bought a place or were involved in all that title work and all the things that go with it, and that the title company wants from you, and the pages and stacks of material and information, and the things that the lawyers have figured out how to do to so they can keep their jobs, is what some people say. And I'm sure that a good lawyer is somebody who wants to keep you out of trouble too. But a lot of that stuff is considered a contract. And man, reading those contracts is nothing fun. It's just not enjoyable. Until it's your house that's either selling or your house that you're buying. And then you want to make sure that you get all of the stuff right. So I sold a house a while back, and we had minerals on it. And I told I didn't want to convey the minerals. I wanted to keep them. And so I was looking through the contract because, you know, it's the right thing to do. And I was looking through there, and it said that I was going to convey the minerals over to the buyer. And I say, hey, whoa, wait a minute. We need to fix this. And the reason that's important, see, it's become personal. But the problem with contracts are people are always looking for a way to find a loophole in a contract. It's a piece of paper that has to do with people that don't trust each other. And the reason they don't trust each other is the other person is oftentimes untrustworthy, so they're looking for these loopholes that they can step through so they can get ahead or get a better deal off of the person that they're trying to do business with. And I think that's a horrible way to do business, but it is the way that we do business. We have to have contracts in order for us to, if it ever goes bad, for us to win in court. But the way that God does those kind of items is he has a thing called covenant. And a covenant works like this. A marriage is a covenant. And the way that a good covenant works is that both parties try to do everything that they can do to make the agreement work. And if we don't understand it very well, then what we're going to do is we're going to try to figure out what we can do to make up for the inconsistencies, because we're in a covenant. It's good for you. It's good for me. We're both trying to take care of each other. And when you've got honest people, a handshake will do. I have some friends that they're both in the horse business. One of them's a pastor. They got some horses, and another guy's got some brood mares. And they talked to me, and I got those two guys together, and they decided they were going to do some business together. And the way that they decided is they wrote it down, and then they shook hands, and they made a covenant. You know, our culture, a covenant is a good old handshake. In the Middle East, they had several things that they do. They would kill a cow or a steer or a lamb, and they would split it in the middle, signifying two sides to this covenant being put together, and that they would die to make sure that the other party was taken care of. And there was a lot of things that go with covenant. But last week, I got at this point, it's several weeks ago, I got to go do the church service at Road to the Horse. And I enjoyed that because so much of the stuff that they're doing, for those of you who don't know what it is, they have these individuals that are colt starters. And they give them colts that are all pretty close to the equal, the same age. They're all mares this year. Some years they're all geldings, but this year they were all mares. And so they had a qualifier round of four, and one of them would get to go to the finals. And then there's three others that had already qualified previously to be at the finals. So then in the very finals, they had the last four colt starters standing, and the colts that they would give them were they had the same kind of a beginning. None of them were even halter broke, and so they had to halter break them. They were three-year-olds, and the first thing they would do is they would begin to establish order. And what they would do, they would get in the round pen with them. They had four round pens in the and they would begin to make noises or smooch at these horses to get them to moving, because a horse is a natural, he's not a fight animal, he's a flight animal. So he's going to try to get away, and they've got pins around them. These horses are trying to get away, and they're scared. And so they'll go ahead and increase the fear a little bit until they get a response that they want, because a horse is already pre-programmed to have a relationship with another horse. And the way they establish that is that they establish who's in charge. And when they figure out who's in charge, then the one in charge leads, and the one who's not in charge, he follows. That's the ideal. So all that they're trying to do is establish this relationship of who's in charge. So they'll smooch at them until they give in, and they, in the horse language, they'll turn and face them. When they do that, they say, whoa, because that's going to be a cue that they learn later on. They say, whoa, when the horse stops moving his feet, it's kind of simultaneous. So they begin to associate whoa with stop moving your feet, and they'll begin to approach the horse. And the horses are afraid. They don't know what to do. They want to flight. They want to run. But they've already discovered they can't get very far in this round pen. So they're watching him, and you better not do anything to scare them, because they're going to run again. And when they do, you increase the fear factor. And a horse can't take it very long. Pretty soon, he'll begin to deal with it. He'll look at, and whatever the guy who's starting to train these horses, whatever he wants for that horse's response to be, when he gets it, he'll take away the fear. And they decide who's in charge. And when you can decide who's in charge of this relationship, then you can begin to establish the kind of relationship where I'm in charge, you're supposed to listen, and everything in the world and in the universe responds to order, because God is a God of order. And I'll look at it here. This is our scripture this morning. 1 Corinthians 15, we're going to go to verse 24. And it says this, and it's legal talk. And I want you to understand it's legal talk, but I'll explain it to you because it's important that you know it. It says, then comes the end when he hands over the kingdom of God to the Father. So he's obviously talking about Jesus. When he gives the kingdom of God to the Father, then he abolishes all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign until he puts all of his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be abolished is death. Don't let me lose you here. God has put everything under his feet. Now, when it says everything is put under him, it's obvious that he who puts everything under him is the exception. That's legal talk. That's saying that God is in order, Christ is under. Even in the Godhead, there's divine order. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Verse 28, when everything is subject to Christ, then the Son himself, who also will be subject to the one who subjected him, that's who God is, everything to him, so that God may be all in all. He's talking about order. Everything in life works better if it understands order. Have you ever been in a home? I'm kind of careful when I say this because it's a little bit offensive to some people, but have you ever been in a home when the individual that's in charge is the child? You've been in those places, haven't you? There's no order when a child is in charge. There's no order. Children don't know about order. They don't understand how he's in charge. They have to be taught that there is an order, and they understand God because of order. And if you ever notice, a child will be so ugly, well, and they don't even realize this. They will just say ugly things. They will do it. They'll just be rowdy, crazy, until you give them a boundary and you enforce the boundary. And when they test it and realize the boundary is not going to move, then there will be peace in their heart. They are looking for somebody to have order because they cannot control their own. They're too immature. And for us, we have to understand that maturity has to do with us beginning to understand what order is and how order works. God the Father's in charge. Can I just say this? That if God the Father is not in charge in your life, if God the Father is not in charge of your home, your family, your business, your life is chaos. If you're trying to be your own God and rule your own life and run your own business, there is a chaos and there is a war and there is a fear and there is a stress. People are experiencing burnout all the time. And part of the reason that they experience burnout is they don't understand that God came to bring order. He came to bring peace. But the mature people understand that God is over all. Mature people understand that Jesus operates under God's authority. And the Holy Spirit operates under the Son's authority. And if we get ahead of any of those, we're misunderstanding. When they tried to trap Jesus, they said, who do you pay, us or them? And he said, this is easy. He said, give me a coin. He holds a coin up. He says, whose face do you see on this? Well, it's Caesar. He says, give to Caesar. What's Caesar? See, that's order. That's taxes. And give to God, what is God's? Now, they knew what is God's. 10% goes to God. Give to God, what is God's? And you will begin to see financial order. I'm not going to sit here and tell you how to spend your money, but I will tell you this. If you go to church someplace and you don't pay your tithe, you don't belong in that church. You're not good enough for it. It takes a commitment. And when you will fall under God's order, and this is going to be a tough message, guys. I'm going to tell you, this is just a tough message, that if we don't fall under God's order, then we will have chaos in our life. And in God's family, the husband is supposed to be in charge. Men, be a man.
Well, thank you so much for tuning in today. I told you you were going to enjoy this. We've got some more coming next week. If you would like to contact us, there's our address on the screen. You can also go to Facebook. You can also take a little picture of that QR code down there at the bottom of your screen. It takes you to our website, and it will ask you a couple of questions. If you would like to give so that we can stay on this station, we would enjoy that. God bless you, and thank you. We'll see you again.